This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
A big day at the Fed.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. It seems almost a foregone conclusion that the Federal Reserve will cut its key interest rate today. The question is, by how much? Most economists expect a quarter point drop, but some think the Fed might get bold and cut the rate by a half point. It wasn't that long ago the Fed was talking about a rate hike to stave off inflation. Now the concern, of course, is recession, so a half point wouldn't be that surprising. Something else Wall Street will be watching closely today: Lehman Brothers reports third quarter profits. Lehman is the first investment bank to turn in its numbers since the subprime market came crashing down. The other big banks report later this week. More now from Amy Scott.
Investors have been expecting the worst. Every major investment bank has seen its stock plunge since early summer as shareholders started to worry about the bank's exposure to risky debt. Ben Wallace is an analyst with Grimes & Company. He says Wall Street firms make money on a range of products, from mortgage-backed securities to the bonds and loans that fund corporate buyouts.
It's pretty much throughout the food chain they're making money along the way. So as the business slows down, the profits will take a hit.
Analysts will be poring over these earnings. Top of their list, how the banks value certain assets that may have been hit by the credit crunch. New accounting rules say the banks have to distinguish between securities with a clear market value and those that don't trade very often and require a little more guesswork. Because the market has dried up and many credit-related investments aren't trading these days, some analysts expect this round of earnings to be a bit of a guessing game. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Wall Street has a bit of ground to make up after yesterday. The Dow fell 39 points. It begins this morning at 13,403. The Nasdaq fell 20 to 2581. The S&P 500 was down 7 to 1476. In Tokyo today, stocks dropped about 2%. European shares are a tad lower so far. Companies that sell groceries want the government to hit them with some new regulations. Today, the Grocery Manufacturers Association will ask for more regulation of food imports. The trade group says it's trying to address concerns about food safety. But critics say the industry is really just trying to head off harsher regulation by the government. Jeremy Hobson explains.
The Grocery Manufacturers Association represents more than 200 companies, from Kellogg to Nestle to Coca-Cola. The group wants industry and the government to do a better job policing imports. And this appetite for tougher regulation is welcomed by Chris Waldrop at the Consumer Federation of America.
What the food industry has realized is that a weak regulatory system, as well as weak regulatory agencies, don't really serve anyone's interest.
But the industry is being tight-lipped about its proposal, and regulatory watchdog Rick Melberth with OMB Watch warns the plan may be self-serving.
They want one standard, and they know that out of the Bush administration, they're going to get one that's going to be fairly easy to meet, as opposed to what they might get later on or what might occur at the state level.
As the companies unveil their proposal, Congress will be looking at the issue as well at yet another food safety hearing. In Washington, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Paper airline tickets may finally be going bye-bye. The head of the International Air Transport Association says paper tickets will be all but extinct by the end of May. This would save the airlines a ton of money, but not everyone's ready to make the switch. Kenya Airways, for example, has an airstrip with no electricity. And that, of course, means no computers.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by A.G. Edwards, caring for nest eggs for more than 120 years, with a commitment to provide objective financial advice. Marketplace is supported by the American Public Transportation Association, representing America's public transportation industry, delivering 10 billion riders annually, and working for an energy-independent America. Publictransportation.org. The Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk is supported by the Kauffman Foundation, online at kauffman.org.
The Detroit Tigers are hoping to get to sell playoff tickets again this year. The Tigers made the World Series last year, but lost to St. Louis. This season, they're a few games out with less than 2 weeks left. Meanwhile, the city of Detroit is selling something else, pieces of the old Tiger Stadium. Everything must go, the seats, the signs, even the urinals. The city has hired a St. Louis company to handle the auction. Bruce Snyder is the company's CEO. Bruce, why would someone want to buy an old stadium urinal?
I don't know, but they're bidding on them. I mean, when we did the stadium in St. Louis, the one item that got the most billing, the urinal.
And how much would someone pay for a urinal, Bruce?
Well, I'm not sure. We'll let the market tell us where it's going to end up.
Now, what else? Since you did this in St. Louis before, what were some of the other items that were popular?
Players' lockers were very popular. Turnstiles were popular, which we have at Tiger Stadium also. You know, there's lots of signage and benches in the dugout. You know, some, believe it or not, there's still some field, like tarps and those old, some older looking protectors that protect the players when they're, you know, when they're having batting practice throughout. There's a market share for everything, it seems like.
And some of these things go for thousands of dollars.
On one of the items already in Detroit, we're up to close to a couple thousand dollars on a 1968 World Series banner.
What does the money go toward?
I'm not in charge of them, you know, that part of it, but I think they're going to, you know, try to leave the field intact, to leave that for Little League and younger players to play baseball on, and preserve some of the older, more interesting pieces of that stadium, and then demo the parts that are going to be developed, I guess, I'm just guessing, into condominiums or shopping or commercial or retail or whatever they're going to do.
So your company is just in charge of selling the little pieces of Tiger Stadium?
That is correct.
Well, since you're based in St. Louis, did you get something from Busch Stadium?
You know, I got some little trinkets and so forth. My son actually got some stuff, but I try not to get too attached.
All right, Bruce, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
Bruce Schneider is CEO of Schneider Industries, an auction company based in St. Louis. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.